Stop laughing. This is erotic.
I'm on a new medication and I think it's making me hallucinate.
I would have been a Ted Bundy victim.
Yeah. I had no idea that so many people out there felt the same way I did. Now I want a pina colada.
An acquired taste.
Bethany, have you heard the breaking news?
No, what's going on? Loosey Goosey bonus episode.
Yes, this is an acquired taste podcast. I'm Kathleen. That's Bethany.
Hi.
Okay. An independent group claims that it solved the mystery behind the identity of the Zodiac killer.
They know the identity now?
Yeah, he died. He's dead. Yes. He died a few years ago.
Yes.
And this like group of retired police enforcement slash detectives, the Case Breakers, it's a team of 40 former law enforcement officers and investigators say that they have identified the man who was the Zodiac killer using new physical and forensic evidence and information from eyewitnesses.
Okay, because last year, some code breakers were reportedly able to decode one of his letters, which had been like shock, you know, people weren't able to figure it out for a long time. But this is new. So who is it?
It's the Code Breakers. It's this. That's the name of official name of the team.
Oh, that's awesome. Who is the Zodiac?
So they're saying his name was Gary F. Post, and he killed at least 37 people.
So do we know, do they say anything else about who Gary S. Post is? That feels like a fake name.
He's dead. He was arrested for domestic assault a handful of years ago, and he's dead.
That feels so anticlimactic. Like, oh, we figured out who it is.
I'm sorry.
But that's all. Okay. Like, well, don't they tell us anything else?
The point about this is that, Bethany, how do you and I get on one of these teams?
I know. I think you need to be really good at something. I just dropped my phone, for example. I'm not good at holding things in my hand. There's also a group, I don't remember what they're called, and I'm going to look it up really quickly. It's a group of like retired detectives, people who used to work for the CIA, people who are really good at, you know, codes. And they have a secret society that's not so secret that works on cold cases. And like that, amazing. They specifically meet up to work on cold cases. Let's see if I can find the name because it's cool.
I wonder if these people are independently wealthy because then they just have like time to spend doing this stuff.
Yeah, I think that are like they're retired and they maybe were lucky enough to have a pension, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Or they were really good at saving money. I don't know.
Can you imagine an influencer who's like our age, who's like, hey, here's the link to the couch in my living room. Please buy it so I can spend my time solving cold cases.
No. The VDOC Society.
Cool.
VIDOCQ Society.
Okay.
Founded in 1990. It's a membership-only club in Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. They focus their efforts on solving cold case homicides. There's also a show I love called Miss Fisher's Murder Mysteries, and then the spinoff Miss Fisher's Modern Murder Mysteries. And it's just about this woman who lost like all of the men in her family were killed in, I think, like the First World War. And so she just was like the only recipient of all of their money. So she becomes independently wealthy and then just starts solving murder mysteries, which is like the dream.
That's the dream. Yeah. Everyone in your family dies and they leave you all their money.
And the bummer of it all is that I know for a fact I've met all of my aunts and uncles. Yeah. And so there's not a secret benevolent, you know, benefit, like benefactor. There's not an uncle that was estranged who became like a giant financier of something. Like there's just nothing.
You know what? You never, Bethany, you never know. You may have touched a life where that person's very wealthy and then you don't even realize you touched that life. And then they're like, hey, I'm old and I'm leaving all my money to Bethany Watson.
Speaking of old, old people.
Oh,
I finished. I don't even want to say what I finished because I'm afraid by saying that it's going to. I finished Squid Game.
Oh, yes, Bethany. I know what you're talking about.
Yes, that. So have you ever had to stop watching a show or a movie and just read what happens on Wikipedia because it's too much?
I have. Yeah.
When is the last time you did that?
I was doing that with What's the Vera Farmiga and Patrick Wilson's, those movies, those horror movies that they do together?
Yeah, The Conjuring.
Yeah, because I think they were based partially on real life. Mm-hmm. And then one of them I didn't have time to finish, so I just read what happened on Wikipedia.
God bless Wikipedia. That's what I used to do with like torture porn movies, because I hate torture porn. I would just read them. But I had to do that. So Squid Game has nine episodes.
Yeah, something like that.
I had to read the Wikipedia synopsis of the seventh episode.
Because you couldn't do it?
I knew that what was going to happen in episode seven was going to be more than I could handle. I got up to episode six, finished it, and I was like, I'm so stressed out right now. There's one particular character that I was so concerned about that I had to stop for a second and just read that episode synopsis and then move on and watch the final two.
So... You know the girl who is the crazy, she's got that like crazy voice, that like one.
Yeah.
I hear her voice in my nightmares, like, because I watched the dubbed version.
Okay.
And the person who does the voiceover, and it, gentle listeners, if you watch the dubbed version, you know what I'm talking about. But there is one character, that woman with the curly hair, and her dubbed voice is so piercing and irritating that every time she spoke, I just went, ugh, I hate you.
So if you don't know what Squid Game is about, it's basically like Hunger Games or Battle Royale, where it's about class. So a bunch of people who are incredibly poor, have a lot of debt, are invited to play this giant game, series of games, and they get killed off if they lose the game. And so there's, you just become so attached to a bunch of different characters, but there is this woman who is like, she will do anything to survive. Mm-hmm. She will scream at you. She will beg with you. She will cry. She will laugh. She will yell. She will hit you. She will like,
she'll bang you in the bathroom.
She'll sex you up in a bathroom stall. She's a lot to handle, but the actress is awesome.
Such a good show. I think it's officially Netflix's number one television show of all time. That's how many views it's gotten.
And it took forever. It was like the guy who wrote it and directed it. It was all the same guy. He wrote, I was reading an article about it. It took him something like, and I want to get this correct, either 2 months or 2 years to write the first two episodes, and six of his teeth fell out because he was so stressed.
Oh my God.
Uh-huh.
I cannot imagine being, I mean, was he just like gobbling up candy corn during that time period?
I have no idea. They didn't go into why. I think it was literally... Have you ever been so stressed that your hair fell out?
No, but I've been so stressed before that I can't breathe.
Yeah.
Like, and not just panic attack, can't breathe. I just have gone a whole day feeling like there wasn't enough air in my lungs.
Yeah. I got shingles during COVID for being so stressed out.
That's right.
Here we go. His name is Hwang Dong-hyuk, and he said that it took him 6 months to write the first two episodes. He did those alone.
Wow.
He said that preparing for the show, this is from their Wikipedia, was physically and mentally exhausting. He said six of his teeth fell out while making season one.
Oh my God.
But it's like...
Does that mean there's going to be a season two?
He said he doesn't have immediate plans.
Well, he should make them.
Well, I think he did say, look, if I do, I'm going to need some writers to help me out.
That's pretty funny.
Poor guy.
Have you heard this preposterous thing? I don't get grossed out by much, but I'm a little bit grossed out by this. Meghan Trainor and her husband have two toilets installed next to each other in their bathroom.
I read this headline and I chose not to go further.
And so she said that they have only pooped together once, and they were like, let's not do that again. And so they just have two toilets, his and hers, for no reason.
Do we need to, why do we need to know this?
She must have a song. I think she's got a song coming out. And so she wanted to make some headlines or something. I mean, I really like her music. I think that her music, a lot of it's a good bop. Great to move to, a little bit rappy, a little bit poppy. I like it.
Do you remember there was there's like a vintage SNL commercial called The Love Toilet? Have you ever seen that?
No.
It's basically a toilet. You know how when two cops talk to each other, they'll pull their cop cars up so that their driver's side windows face each other? It's like the cleverest thing. It's that with toilets. So that it's like, picture one long tank, and then there's a toilet facing one way and a toilet facing the opposite way, so you can sit and gaze at each other while you're... That's what I pictured.
Neil and I will often use the bathroom with the doors open.
Nope, absolutely not.
And some, if it's really bad, we start screaming at the other person to get away.
Yeah.
But that is just, I'm so grossed out by it. But like, I guess to each their own, question mark, question mark.
I think I cannot get behind using the bathroom with the door open. We both panic. There was one time that he was taking a shower and I had to just go to the bathroom. Like, and I knew it was going to be quick and it was no big deal, but it was enough that like I couldn't wait. And I panicked so much that I took a giant beach towel and I strung it around myself, like at the end of Karate Kid, where he's dressed like a, yeah, like a shower at the party, and like screamed. And I told Dennis to sing, and I was just like, you will just like, this is not happening. And it was total panic, but I did not let him see any inch of my body from the top of my head to my ankles.
It's only pee, Bethany.
Doesn't matter. I do. It's not for, it's not anyone's business. Yeah. I don't want my relationship to be sullied by them thinking about me that way. Okay. You know, when I want them to find me attractive. This episode is brought to you by Four Sigmatic, a wellness company that is well known for its delicious mushroom coffee. Okay, Kathleen,
yeah,
when I first heard mushroom coffee, I thought it was coffee made out of nothing but mushrooms. Then I realized that it's coffee made from fair trade, single origin Arabica coffee, but it also has lion's mane mushroom to give you productivity and chaga mushroom for immune support. So the mushroom stuff is like added in to the delicious coffee.
So last time we talked, I hadn't tried Four Sigmatic yet, but you gave it such a glowing review that I was like, okay. So I put it in my French press earlier this week, and I've been drinking it every single day since, because I feel like this lion's mane, instead of regular coffee, it helps me focus. I can get more stuff done, and I absolutely feel an uptick in my productivity every time I drink it.
And if you're worried that it tastes like mushrooms, it does not taste like mushrooms. It tastes like the coffee that you love. The mushrooms are just like flavorless. You get the good stuff, but you don't taste anything mushroomy. Plus, all Four Sigmatic products are organic, vegan, and gluten-free, and every single batch is third-party lab tested to make sure that it's pure and safe, so you know you're getting the highest quality coffee and mushrooms possible.
Gentle listeners, if you love the dark, nutty taste of coffee, you have to try Four Sigmatic. And it has over 20,000 five-star reviews. And best of all, Four Sigmatic backs their products with a 100% money-back guarantee. So either love every sip or get your money back.
And we've worked out an exclusive offer with Four Sigmatic on their best-selling mushroom coffee, but this is just for an acquired taste listeners. Get up to 40% off and free shipping on mushroom coffee bundles. To claim this deal, you must go to foursigmatic.com/AT. And it's only for acquired taste listeners. It's not available on their regular website.
You'll save up to 40% and get free shipping. So go right now to Four Sigmatic. That's foursigmatic.com/AT and fuel your productivity and creativity with some delicious mushroom coffee. Okay, so a couple episodes ago, we talked about frownies, those stickers that you put on your face to make your wrinkles go away.
Yeah.
Taste Bud Tara got back to me. She said you could absolutely have the same results with medical tape. Don't waste your money.
Yeah, it seems like a very just like, oh, this is a gimmick. So yesterday I had a bunch of clothing that like just didn't suit me anymore. And I was like, I had moved on in terms of my style. And so I brought it to a secondhand store and sold it to them.
Yeah.
And have you ever done this? You go to like a Buffalo Exchange or wherever and you sell your clothes?
No, I haven't.
It is a very harrowing experience because
because they never give you what you want. And they're like, this is not really worth that much. And you're like, but I spent $200 on that skirt.
That's the thing. And so they said, do you want to be present while we go through it or not? And I was like, yeah, I'd like to be present. You know, I'd like to like be able to pitch my clothes to you. But there was like a mix up. And so I wasn't present. They went through it without me. Mm-hmm. And I saw it happening, but it was already too late. And so I kept looking up and I saw her looking up, and then she was a junior whatever buyer. And so she kept looking at her manager, and to see two people who are prettier than you
no
and cooler than you
no
like exchanging looks and both shaking their head at clothes that you've spent your own money on.
Oh.
Or clothes you have all of these memories about, like a dress where you met the love of your life and then you see two people going like, no. Like, is so gut-wrenching. It's like watching your children be appraised. It's just awful. It's awful. It's so gut-wrenching. And so, like, the things that I thought they would love,
yeah,
they absolutely gave back to me. The things that are stupid, like a stupid skirt I had for a dumb Halloween costume I did one time. They were like, we love this. And I'm like, I don't understand any of you. I think you have to be selling your clothes ironically for them to be purchased. Like, they're not going to buy an Yves Saint Laurent dress, but they are going to buy this skirt from Amazon that you got for $12 that has a picture of Jesus on it. They're like, this is amazing.
It's infuriating. Was it a skirt from Amazon that you spent $12 on with Jesus on it?
It did not have Jesus on it.
Okay.
But that's the kind of, and then you're like, as you're waiting for your clothes to be judged and deemed, they're like, you can just walk around the store. So then it makes it worse because you're walking around the store and you're seeing the absolute shit that they have clearly bought from other people.
Yeah.
And like, I saw a shirt that just had Mickey Mouse Beauty and the Beast on it. Like, it was probably an old shirt from an employee at some Beauty and the Beast thing at Disney World. Or just some ugly see-through ragged sweater that someone bought from them, but they will not take this gorgeous dress with like a high collar and a raw, like, it just makes you madder and madder, and you leave feeling completely demoralized.
Okay, Bethany, this is exactly what you say about seashell chandeliers on Etsy. It's only worth what someone else thinks it's worth.
Yeah.
At some point. And they're not thinking, what's the coolest items in this pile? Their job is to figure out what will actually sell. And like,
that's a good point.
Someone who comes into Buffalo Exchange probably isn't the customer looking for like a high-end dress with a beautiful high collar. They're someone who like needs a handful of t-shirts to just get by.
Yeah, no, you're totally right.
But I understand what you're saying. I get it.
Because one year for Jingle Ball, I wore this pink velvet suit. You're the one who told me to buy it. It was so cute. I loved it.
You sold it?
I tried. It was a little bit too short and the coat was like a little bit, my shoulders are a little too broad for it.
Yeah.
And so I brought it and they had no interest. They didn't even fold it back up nicely because it's like crisp front like seams.
Yeah.
They like kind of bundled it up and threw it back. I was like, you guys,
that's a Bowdoin suit.
I'm so angry.
That's a Bowdoin suit. How dare they?
Okay, angry.
Bethany, you need to this is what you do with the stuff that they didn't want, because Buffalo Exchange, it's not the right audience for your nicer things. Your nicer things have to go on Poshmark, and you will sell them there.
Here's the thing. I've put nicer things on Poshmark and they sit there and sit there and sit there and sit there.
But it also, it's the time of year too.
Yeah.
And it's the photographs. You have to, you got to use that little camera that we have that we use to take videos of this podcast. You got to use that.
My photographs are amazing. Oh. I have like a dress form I put them on. Okay. I do great. Whatever. It doesn't matter. The moral of the story is having other people appraise your stuff.
Yeah.
Sucks.
Yeah.
It's like
having a garage sale and someone walks by and they're like, meh, and they don't buy anything.
That's why when I go into little stores where it's clear that the person running it is the person who owns it.
Yeah.
It's really tough to leave without buying anything because you feel like they're going to think you're judging their wares.
Yep. And so you have to walk around touching everything going, oh, this is so cute. Oh, God, I love that. I wish I had a place for it.
Exactly. If you go to a flea market and someone makes their own jewelry and you don't want any of it, you have to be like, oh, man, I don't have anything to go with this. With this fabric earring.
I know.
Like, it's tough.
Sometimes people are joking themselves. I have been on like a journey to buy placemats and cloth napkins so I stop using so much paper.
Yeah.
And so I've been like putting offers in on Poshmark.
Yeah.
And like someone's old placemat that's like sort of vintagey looking that clearly has already been used. They're like, I want $20 for this piece of cloth. And I'm like, get the F out of here. I'll offer you $350.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely not. And that's the thing too, is trying to decide what am I going to try to get money for and what am I going to just donate? What am I going to, you know, someone will be so happy to get this.
Yeah.
And like, I will end up donating a large portion of the clothing that, like, didn't sell because it's beautiful and it's well-maintained and someone will enjoy it. But it is just, like, if you put something that, let's say you paid $100 for this dress.
Yeah.
You try to sell it on Poshmark for, like, $50.
Yeah.
And someone offers you $10. Oh.
That's me. That's me offering you $10.
Nothing is worth anything anymore. It's so frustrating.
Oh, I just discovered people use this thing. Totally useless. Don't understand why. So you've seen table runners, right? People put runners on their tables.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I get that. That's like,
sure.
You know, to protect the table, you put a hot dish on top of the runner.
Yeah.
People have bed runners that go across the foot of the bed. They're not a blanket. It's not like a decoratively folded quilt or anything. It is literally just looks like a table runner and you put it at the foot of your bed.
You know what? This explains a lot because I feel like I've seen those at hotels.
Yeah.
And pulled on them to try to expand the quilt and it doesn't expand. It's just a piece of fabric.
Yeah.
Is it just supposed to be visually pleasing?
Oh, you know what? It just occurred to me that maybe if you're laying on the bed with your shoes on, that's where your shoes go.
Take your shoes off, you slime ball. Yeah. Come on. I'm going to Google. What are bed runners?
I bet those
used for
millennials who grand millennials who like grandma style. I bet they like bed runners.
Nope, it's nothing about shoes, Kathleen, although you were being very generous.
Yeah.
A bed runner, according to traveldocs.stackexchange.com/what-is-the-purpose-of-this-cloth-in-a-hotel, says, a bed runner is a small, long piece of decorated cloth used to enhance the appearance of an otherwise plain bed.
Okay, there
you go. So it's just wasted cloth.
Get yourself a dang quilt.
Yeah, I mean, the nice thing about it is, like, if you're in the position of Maria when she joined the Von Trapp family singers, mm-hmm. she had to make clothes out of something. And if you have bed runners, then you have a lot of extra cloth to make, you know, like mm-hmm. a cowl with mm-hmm. or something.
I wonder whatever happened to their windows, because she was making so many clothes out of curtains. It's like, who redid their drapery?
Oh, you didn't hear?
No.
So because they didn't have any curtains up, people could see in at night and the whole family got murdered.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. That's the story they don't want you to know.
Oh, my God. That's so fucked up.
Yeah. The whole family got murdered in the night. The musical is what they wish had happened. But the true story is that the Von Trapp family singers, family massacre, because the curtains were gone and someone could see into their house.
It just occurred to me that maybe The Sound of Music is the prequel to The Hills Have Eyes, and it really should have been titled The Hills Are Alive. Thank you.
Thank you. Kathleen, mm-hmm. Kathleen, you're a friggin' genius. You're a genius. The show's not going to get better than that. Mm-mm. I think that's that about that.
That's where we should end. Happy Monday, Taste Buds, or whenever you're listening to this. We love you very much.
We love you. We'll talk to you Wednesday night/Thursday morning.